we get things underway today by welcoming back to the program our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's a gorgeous day. How about down in southern New England?
Yes, same thing. Yeah, I'm teaching this semester, as I think I've told you, and I let the kids out a little early because the room was so hot because it's 70-something degrees down here. So I said, let's get the heck out of here. It's too nice to be inside.
You're already their favorite.
Yeah, you're right. I know. Yeah, you should have seen the smiles on their faces, right?
I hope it's sunny. If it's nice out, Professor Coit lets us out early.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying to win some good favors, so go figure.
Do what you got to do. You bank that now, and then when it's the dead of winter, they'll pay you back. So it'll be perfect.
As you know, very, very well, I'm sure.
Most of the time, indeed. Well, geez, a lot going on, Nick. Let's start with the Red Sox. The season wrapped up officially. It seems fitting that in this strange year they would close out by sweeping the Rays.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard that in one of the radio updates today as I was driving around, and it was funny that I said, "Oh, really? They swept? Oh, that's cute. That's nice." And then I hear the record, and I said, "Oh, that's swell. That's wonderful. 78 wins. Oh, that's just great." But I don't know. You look at it, Rich, and you say, like, 78 wins. I mean, you know, the sweep at the end, it was what it was. You know, the playoffs are locked up. It's when you use the eye test and you go through and have all the context and whatnot, how the season went, obviously it looks a little different. And this is a really important offseason coming up. I think we've all been anticipating that. You know, we're about to get it underway in full swing here, which is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting last night when they allowed Xander Bogaerts to get a little curtain call and come off the field in the seventh inning. He obviously can enter free agency, but the Red Sox have a window between now and, I think, the close of the World Series. Do you think they reach out? Will they make a reasonable offer? Can they get something done with him?
I hope so. I really do, Rich. I think that should be priority one here for the whole offseason for them. I really do. It's funny. I think at the beginning of the year, I kind of looked at it and I said, okay, well, obviously the two names that we're looking at here that are going to be important that the Red Sox are going to need to make a decision on are Bogaerts and Devers. And I said at the beginning of the year, I thought, okay, you might, keyword might, be able to sell me on, okay, well, if we let Xander walk, you know, we have guys in the system. Marcelo Mayer is going to be the shortstop of the future in a couple of years, whatever, all of that. You signed Trevor Story. Like, you could sell me on it at the beginning of the year. Now, with the way that he responded to it, you know, the way that he played defensively this year, he improved, which is really impressive. The way that he hit, and then just the good favor that the guy has with the Red Sox fan base. He's a beloved figure. He's a great player. He's a great guy. I look at it, and the way that things went with Story and kind of the uncertainty there, it's not like Story tore it up and said, well, you know, we could just slide this guy into shortstop. I look at it and I say, I don't know how you don't get a deal done with Bogaerts. And when you have this sort of exclusive window to do it, I don't know how you don't do everything in your power to try to get a deal done. I really don't, because if he hits free agency, Rich, he's gone, because somebody's going to call him. Dave Dombrowski's going to call him. Somebody's going to call him and say, what do you want? We'll give you a big fat check. Come play for us. And then at that point, I don't know if he's going to be able to resist. So
yeah. I'm with you completely, because I think it was a bargain contract that they signed with him last time. I do think he would play for less to stay in Boston than he would in some other places. And, you know, might you be overpaying him at the tail end of that contract? Well, sure, but it's not like you haven't done that before. And for a guy like that, absolutely. And I think you're right. That's priority one. And then I think right behind that, maybe even 1A, is make sure you got Rafael Devers taken care of.
Yeah, I'd say so too. You have a little time with Devers, but not much. And I think in Devers' case, the whole Austin Riley deal really helped their cause when it comes to his price and where they may land for a big time extension. But this is a guy that this one is just such a no brainer to me.
Yeah.
Like, Rich, I just don't understand how, of all the moves that you've made to get yourself down to this offseason where you have a lot of money you can go out and spend, you passed on giving the big, huge money deal contract to Mookie Betts. I just don't know how you don't look at this kid and say, you know, he is the future. And the thing that I always come back to, too, Rich, is what are the fans going to say if they go out and they sign Devers to a 10-year deal worth whatever the number is, 300 mil, whatever it is north of, I don't know what the number is. But are the fans going to sit here and say, oh, that's a terrible deal. Why would they do that? Right? Like, they're going to look at it and say, good. He's the star of the future. If, like you said, if it's at the back end of it, he breaks down a little bit, maybe the last 2 years, 3 years aren't as valuable as the first seven, okay, fine. But were the first seven of that 10-year deal worth it? Yeah, because the guy's going to be the face of the franchise and the best hitter for your team. So I just don't know how sometimes teams will just nickel and dime these things, and it's like nobody's going to blame you if you sign this guy of all players,
right,
to a big money contract.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. I don't know who's out there, but I'd love to see them, I don't know, maybe find an outfielder who could hit more than 10 home runs.
They certainly need to add to their power. They do. And that was, I think, addressed today in the press conference with Red Sox brass. And yeah, they really took a hit there. I mean, you go out and you trade Hunter Renfroe for Jackie Bradley Jr., and that's what's going to happen. So I don't know who's out there. It doesn't sound like the market is rich when it comes to outfielders, because I think the sign of that was, oh boy, I think we need to keep Kike Hernandez because he's at least decent when he's healthy. He's
right.
Not a power guy, but he's at least a decent player, so let's keep him and then we'll figure it out. That one, I guess you could say, maybe they go out and they make some sort of trades, you know, to shore up their outfield. And that might be the best route because, I don't know what's going to be out there.
Now, they do seem to have some pieces of a decent bullpen for next year. I don't know what they'll do, but I hope whatever it is, they find a role for Garrett Whitlock and leave him in that role.
Keep him in the... I am a Garrett Whitlock bullpen guy, Rich. I am a huge Whitlock bullpen guy. I think he's way more valuable to you 2 to 3 times a week than as opposed to every 5 days. I think he's way more valuable to you if you can use him as that weapon, whether it's at the end of the game, whether it's in the middle of a game. I think he's too good to be sitting and just use him every 5 days, whatever. And that's not a knock on starting pitching. I just think I think he can be so much more valuable than that. And so I'm a big Whitlock in the bullpen guy, and you build it out from there. Find a guy that consistently can be your quote unquote closer. I am an old school baseball guy when it comes to like roles on a pitching staff too. And I do think you should have an established closer. So hopefully they go out and do that. But yeah, they need to add better arms. They do. And the experiments with the Ryan Braziers of the world need to come to an end. You need to find yourself a decent bullpen here and stick with it, and reliable arms, more than one.
Well, speaking of arms, the Patriots could use some of those too, as the Zappy era continues this weekend. Can they pull one out against the Lions, even with young Bailey Zappi in their QB?
What an interesting matchup this is, right? Because you're talking about, and everybody's been saying it this week, the Lions putting up, what, the most points in the NFL?
Mm.
But they're the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL. So it's what an interesting team coming in here. And so that tells me, okay, if they're the worst defense in the league, then yeah, with Bailey Zappi under center, they should be able to. I mean, look at what they did. Managing the kid at Lambeau, bringing him in with not much preparation in terms of being the starter, and they took the Packers to overtime. So you give him a week here where he's getting starter reps, and he has a good stable of backs behind him, or pairing, at least two-headed monster that he can lean on. Then I think you can do it, because make the Lions prove that they can stop the run with Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris, and then go from there. And you know, don't ask the kid to do too much, but at the same time, you know, don't be afraid to let the kid do a little bit too, because the kid threw for what, a record in college in terms of passing yards in a season. And, you know, he obviously has gotten a little bit of work in here. So, you know, let it fly against, again, the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL. So should they have a chance to win this weekend if Bailey's happy? Yeah, you bet.
And boy, the way that defense played last week, that has got to give them some confidence going forward, particularly I think in these next four or five games that are winnable, and you don't need Zappe to throw for 300 yards if your defense is playing well.
Well, the one thing they need to be better at, Rich, is they need to be better in the red zone. You know, that's been a calling card for Patriots defenses for years. Is that okay? Bend but don't break. They let teams drive between the 20s, but when they get in the red zone, they hold them to a field goal, whatever. They got to get back to that, because the last couple of games, sure, they kept themselves in the game with Green Bay, but every time Green Bay got in the red zone, they punched it in, and they capitalized. And so the Patriots defense has to do that. And they got to force turnovers again, too. And as we've heard from young Jack Jones, he's not going to be afraid to try to punch the ball out here every once in a while. And, they got to be better there when it comes to forcing turnovers and stopping the run. This is a team that's going to be able to try to run against them, and they got to be able to prove that they can stop it. Because the one weakness, I think, in the defense so far, or group that you'd desire a little more from, would be the linebackers. Because I think you're decent in the secondary, I think you're decent up front, but there's still some questions in that linebacking group, and so hopefully they can try to answer some of those going forward.
Hey, finally, Nick, do you think the Celtics can overcome all of the issues they've dealt with here in preseason and be as good as we thought they would be before the whole Ime Udoka thing blew up?
I do, and I think with the NBA, I think talent obviously goes a long, long way, maybe more than other sports here, and the Celtics have a lot of it, and they have a motivated Tatum and Brown. They're saying all the right things, and I think their actions are showing it, too, that there's just a lot of confidence there that they can get back to competing where they were last year at the top of the Eastern Conference. Something clicked last year, and, a guy I think that was a big part of it. We talk about Udoka, and obviously his imprint as the coach before the scandal here, but a guy that was on his staff that people speak very highly of is the guy that's now the interim coach, and that's Joe Mazzulla. And there's been a lot of stories written, a lot of praise here in the state of Rhode Island, because he's a Johnston, Rhode Island guy. He went to Bishop Hendrickson High School, enjoyed a great high school career here. A lot of people know him here. A lot of people respect him here. He's the son of a coach. His dad, Dan, unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago from cancer, but was a longtime youth coach here in Rhode Island. So, he's gotten lessons when it comes to being a coach and leading young men. And, I'm excited to see what Joe can do. But particularly defensively, I think he had an imprint on where the Celtics went last year in terms of ramping up their defense and how successful it was. So, if he keeps a little bit of that and then adds his own flavor, I think he can definitely guide these guys. And like I said, he's certainly got the talent to work with, and that usually goes a long way in the NBA.
Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence with us. Nick, always great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for squeezing us into your busy schedule today.
Hey, always a pleasure, Rich. Great to talk with you. Hope you get to enjoy as much sunshine as you can once you get out of the studio here, because, it is a beautiful day in New England.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon, Nick.
Thanks, buddy.
It's Nick Coit, ABC6 Providence, visiting with us.